You're listening to UCF Knights Talk, a UCF Knights podcast with the Orlando Sentinel's Shannon Green. Get the latest on the hottest topics involving the Knights from our unique perspective. And now, on with the show.
And welcome into another edition of UCF Knights Talk podcast. I'm Brant Parsons with Shannon Green, and it is USF week for the UCF Knights, and getting you a podcast before everybody settles in for their turkey dinner. A lot going on this week, so we're going to jump right in. And Shannon, you gave me the list of topics, and I already know the answer to the first one, but I'm going to put it out there. Is this the most important game in Scott Frost's coaching tenure so far? I would say it's one of the most important games in UCF's short football history of a few decades now. But how big is this game coming up on Friday?
Yeah, it's not that big.
She's joking. Don't turn off the podcast. She's kidding.
I'm so being sarcastic here. No, it is by far the biggest game in recent history for UCF. I don't know that I could say ever, because we can't forget about a little thing called the Fiesta Bowl where UCF beat Baylor and really put their names on the national map. So I wouldn't say ever, but I would definitely say within this series, UCF versus USF this year is by far the most important series ever. Also, one thing to remember, USF has not won a conference championship yet. So this is a big moment for them. This is the second best record that they've had in their school history. So they're not coming in here, you know, like some schmucks here. So you've got UCF at, you know, pretty much the best that it's been in a while. Then you've got USF at its best. So you have two Titans going at it for the division title so that they can go to the conference championship. And whoever wins that conference championship is pretty much for sure going to be in the New Year's Day bowl game. So this is big. This is everything right now.
Yeah, Matt and I talked about it last night, trying to figure out if there was a way that the American champ doesn't get into the New Year's Day Six Bowls. And it's, I don't see it happening, not with UCF and Memphis in the top 25. You would assume if USF did win this game and then beat Memphis, they would jump into it. Boise State is lingering there. But for all intents and purposes, you win the American, you're most likely going to the Peach Bowl. So the Americans can cheer, the conference can cheer for all three. For UCF to get into that New Year's Day Six Bowl, they obviously need to beat USF to get into that title game. That's what so much pressure is on this game. UCF comes in. We know about the offense. We know that the defense can do. What are some of the keys that when you're looking at this game that you need to see the Knights continue to do against USF on Friday?
I think the biggest thing that UCF needs to do is they've got to slow down Quentin Flowers. I mean, I just think that it doesn't get any bigger than that. Quentin Flowers is, he's the man. I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's also a rushing quarterback. You know, we could run down a list of stats of things that he's done. He's passed Tim Tebow as the all-time FBS quarterback rushing leader in Florida. So he's really good, to put it simply. So UCF has actually not really shown yet that they have been completely sound in containing a mobile quarterback. If you look back to the UConn game, they had some trouble slowing down David Pindell. I mean, he rushed for 96 yards, you know, total 105, but he lost 9. So, you know, they had a little bit of trouble there. And that's not necessarily not saying that UCF can't do it. They just haven't quite reached that level yet at the latter part of the season. So I think they really have to clamp down and make sure that he doesn't rush on them, especially on the edges where they've shown a little bit of weakness. So I think that's going to be really key for them, is to really just neutralize Quentin Flowers.
And Quentin Flowers, him being on that team coming into this year, USF was everybody's pick to be the New Year's Day Six team. I mean, they started in the top 25. They've struggled at times this year. They gave up 22 points to San Jose State in the opener. They did not blow out Stony Brook. They've been in tight battles recently. They only beat Tulsa by 7 points their last time out. They struggled with Tulane. They lost to Houston. They only beat UConn by 17 points. When you look at this USF team, at least as I was watching them this year, you kept waiting for it to click. And it's not that it didn't click, because they're 9-1, and if they win this, they're in the American title game. This is not, they have not, to me, they have not played up to how good they are. Obviously, UCF needs to be aware of that going in, because it could click this week. But when you, like I said, when you have Quentin Flowers, anything is possible. And I think that a lot of this game goes into how effective he can be and what UCF can do to slow him down.
For all intents and purposes, we talk about teams not playing up to their standard. I know UCF has said that before. USF, they haven't always played up to their standard either. But we're still talking about teams that are 9-1 and 10-0.
Yeah.
So we're still talking about two great teams. And, you know, I don't cover USF, obviously. I'm not there every day to know the players. But I do wonder how much that Houston loss just kind of put a little bit of a sour note in their minds. But they've done enough to stay in these games. Because, listen, if they don't win these games, even though you only barely beat Tulsa, or, you know, you struggle in some of these games, you put yourself in position to still, you know, potentially win the conference championship as long as you take care of UCF. So they're not completely out of the hunt yet. And obviously, this is a game where you do kind of throw the records out a little bit. You know, it's a cliche. People say it all the time. But this is just a rivalry that is, it's bitter. Yes. These two teams don't like each other. You know, I question at times even if the coaches even liked each other last year between Taggart and Frost. So I think you bring those extra emotions into it, on top of the fact that you have two talented teams. And you just don't know what you're going to get. I can't look at the Vegas odds or, you know, what they do on paper here and there. This is a game that is pure heart and emotion. And whichever team comes out ready to ball and ready to put it on them is going to be the one that wins.
Now, we know this is, we've talked about how important this is for UCF for this series. UCF 10-0 going into this game. They are undefeated. What are some of the things that they've been doing to be undefeated? And how does that play into this game and match up against USF?
I think when you look at the backdrop of what Scott Frost has done, and it's so weird. It feels like sometimes he's been here 5 years, and you have to remember he's literally been here less than 2 years.
Right.
December 1st will probably, I guess, be the official mark of 2 years. But he's done so much, and he's done it right. I think the biggest thing that he's done is he's hired the right staff. You know, a lot of your success as a head coach is the people around you. And, you know, he's got two great coordinators. He was smart in retaining Sean Becton and Travis Fisher. And I think that probably doesn't get talked about enough, because anytime a new coach comes in, a lot of the time they, you know, they clean out the staff. They bring the guys in that they want to bring in. But Frost was smart enough to keep a couple of guys around, because Becton and Fish, you know, these are guys, both of them played at UCF, so this is their alma mater. They also know the area. They're great recruiters. You know, they needed somebody here that knew the high school coaches so that they could hit the ground running. You can't come in and just wipe everybody out and you don't have any sort of leeway. So I think that was very smart on his part. And that's paid big dividends in terms of who they've been able to recruit, which is another key thing that's led to their success. Their top three rushers are all underclassmen. Adrian Killens, a.k.a. Ham and Cheese. Otis Anderson, a.k.a. Juice. And Mackenzie Milton. So a lot of your impact players are younger guys, which tells you that Frost is, you know, and his staff, they're recruiting the right guys and they're winning these recruiting battles, if you will. They finished with the number one recruiting class in the AAC earlier this year after they were able to flip Cordarian Richardson from Maryland. So I think those are definitely some key things that they did. And another minor thing that sort of, you know, not necessarily X's and O's move, but very important, is the nutrition aspect of it. I have a story that's coming out, I think, tomorrow, talking about, you know, some of the key things that they did. And I mentioned that because that was very important. When Frost got here, one of the biggest things that he was pushing for immediately was a training table and a nutrition center. Because you can't have players running tempo offense and, you know, fast defense and doing the things that they want them to do if they're not in shape. So he definitely changed around a lot of these kids' diets. He's got a great strength and conditioning coach in Zach Duvall, a.k.a. War Daddy. All these nicknames. I love it. I love a team with good nicknames. So I definitely think that's made a huge difference in changing their bodies, having the right people around, you know, the chemistry, everybody likes everybody. And of course you like everybody a little bit more when you're winning and you see the results are there. So I just think they've made a lot of the right moves.
This is a rivalry game, and what would a rivalry game be without another story from the outside coming in? And of course that story yesterday, Charlie Strong calling Shaquem's handicap. And of course we saw the response. We know what the response is to that. And does that have an effect on this game? Does that hurt his team? Do you see that playing one of those intangible roles with this game on Friday?
Shaquem Griffin is a very emotional player. So anytime you add fuel to his fire, that's only going to make him better. So when Charlie Strong used the H word, and, you know, obviously if you read the full context of the quote, he didn't mean it in any sort of derogatory manner. But however he meant it, that doesn't matter. It's how Shaquem took it. So that's going to be extra motivation for him. So when I heard Strong say it, my immediate thought was, uh-oh, Charlie. What did you just do? You are about to unleash the beast, because Shaquem, if you tell this kid there's something that he can't do, or you call him handicapped or anything that speaks to a limitation, he's going to go above and beyond to show you exactly why you will regret, you know, making those words. So that, I think that was a good thing for UCF, because a fired up Shaquem is always going to be a good thing for you, since he's already fired up anyway.
And really, like you said, I don't think there was any malice in Charlie Strong saying it. He probably wasn't trying to obviously fire him up. He may not even know that Shaquem's ideas, we don't use that word because I am still capable. It doesn't slow me down. I'm still able to play football, and he's very big on not using that word. Maybe Charlie Strong didn't know that. So I don't want to, like, don't tear him down, but it is going to be used for motivation, and I do expect to see an even more hyped up Shaquem out there on the defense on Friday. If you have a rivalry game, you have stuff like this that happens and certainly raises the already high stakes. Off the field stuff is still obviously something we're paying attention to with Scott Frost. And because of the success that he's had in his under 2 years here, as you've talked about, he is on a want list of some coaching jobs that are out there. Along those lines, we also have an AD who's doing, you know, good work here at UCF, and Danny White. And the thought was, could he be looking at some of these AD jobs that are open? Arkansas is already one of those that I know is open out there. There's a couple more that will be coming open, and I believe Auburn might be one of them. But news today, he has a contract amendment for him, and he's getting a raise. And he said all the right things in his release, talking about how he wants to make UCF a top 25 collegiate sports program, and they're committed to the school. The school is committed to him. That in itself, I think, is big news, because he obviously has a really great working relationship with Scott Frost. They seem to be on the same page, and the things they want to do here, that to me would be a good signal, at least to Frost, if he is wondering about saying, at least he knows his AD is going to be here. But just for UCF sports in general, I think that news today is a welcome relief for UCF fans to know that Danny White is still committed to what he plans to do at UCF.
Yeah, you said it. It was an important and timely announcement to come out for, you know, first and foremost, the obvious reasons of showing Scott Frost his commitment to the school. And again, we don't really know where Scott Frost stands on any of this coaching situation. He could very well be thinking, I'm not leaving. You guys are bugging out, and I had no intentions of leaving. He could be thinking that, or he could be weighing out his options. We don't know. But it certainly does not hurt to have the AD say, hey, I'm committed to being here. I'm committed to following through on the promises that I've made. Because a lot of times in sports, college sports, pro sports, whatever level of sports, we hear promises made all the time about what people's potential is, what I'm going to do. And then the next thing we hear is I'm taking my talents to South Beach, you know? So just figured I'd throw that out there for you, Brent, since I know you're from Miami.
So hey, we can also talk about Nick Saban telling the Dolphins, I am not taking that job in Alabama and, you know, getting on a flight to Tuscaloosa the next day, too. So
exactly. So we hear it all the time. So your words don't matter. It's what you put down on paper. And I think this was a paper move that basically said, hey, I'm throwing in a spade into this pile to let you know that I mean what I say. Even if you only mean it for one more year or two more years, it means something. And Danny White, listen, he's the real MVP here behind the scenes, because you look at all the hires that he's made, and every single coaching hire that he's made has produced either a championship, a strong season, some kind of improvement, and not just a small improvement, a dramatic improvement. So he is a very key component to UCF's overall profile being raised as a top 25 sports program, not just in football, but just overall across the board.
And then finally, to talk one more time about this game Friday. And 2 years ago, the decision to move this game to Black Friday may have been thought of a little silly when UCF was 0-0 everything. And through most of the season, Willie Taggart looked like he was going to be on the hot seat when that game came around. But now here we are, 2017, this game on Black Friday. I have friends of my wife and I that have commented on how they waited too long to get tickets, and now they can't get into the game. And Matt is telling me that the press box is standing room only, and there will be some folks in the press box that are going to have to watch in a room down below with a closed-circuit TV, because they've just had too many requests for press to come to this game. Moving this game to Black Friday seems genius now by the American, because they won't be going up against the Ohio States and Michigans and the Auburns and the Alabamas and all those games. This is the game on Black Friday. This is a 3:30 ABC slot. This is they will have all the attention on them in the college football world on Friday. And it seems genius now. It's worked out. I can just imagine what it's going to be like around the stadium before the game, during the game. But you can't beat that decision and the hype that's going to be going into this game, because this is what they wanted, and it's delivered.
Absolutely. I think that the American Athletic Conference really wins when they get Thursday and Friday night games. There's no question that it's difficult for them to compete in a Saturday time slot, because it's too loaded. It's too saturated with so many games from Power Five conferences. So I think they've really owned that identity to say, okay, we may not win Saturday, but you know what? We can win Friday. We can win Thursday. So I agree wholeheartedly. Smart move on their part. Great time slot. You know, primetime TV. UCF and USF are pretty much at their best. There's a lot on the line. There's so many storylines going into this game. This is what you live for. This is what you live for, especially as a sports writer, to cover these kind of games, to see these kind of moments. You want to see history being made. So it's an exciting time on both sides of the fences, whether you're in Tampa or whether you're in Orlando. It's just a really exciting time. And it's pretty cool to see that UCF and USF, you know, it's the marquee billing even over Florida State. So it's cool. It's cool to see this change and this transition happen. You know, UCF and USF are relatively young programs when you consider how long they've been around in comparison to a Florida or a Florida State. So for them to have achieved this level of national recognition is something to be lauded and praised.
And in a state like Florida, two of the three best teams will be playing in Orlando on Friday. And it's not two of the teams you may expect when you talk about the three best teams in the state. I think that says a lot about what this game is too. Shannon, have a great Thanksgiving with your family. Rest up for Friday. And everybody listening, you have a great Thanksgiving, and get out there early on Friday for the game. And we'll be talking about everything that happens coming up after. In the meantime, feel free to subscribe to this podcast, link it on social media, do all those things that help us out. And we'll be talking to you again on, we'll figure it out, sometime after the game. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. This podcast brought to you by the Orlando Sentinel.
Thank you for listening to UCF Knights Talk, your podcast home for the latest on the UCF Knights. For more UCF coverage, visit OrlandoSentinel.com. Subscribe to this podcast, share it on social media, and review it on iTunes.